All right. Good morning. I hope you're excited to be here. I know I am. And if you don't know me, my name is Alex Villagrana. I am the youth pastor here at New Hope. And I am thankful that Brother Randy allowed me to be able to stand in for him and be able to preach this morning. I can't think of a Sunday, really. I was trying to think back of a Sunday when Randy was gone on a Sunday morning, and I couldn't think of one and stuff. So I'm glad that he was, he had to do a wedding in Colorado this weekend, but he was also going to take some time, and he said, you know, I'm not going to rush back. I'm just going to take some time up there. And so I'm hoping, and I hope you are too, that he's having a good time and enjoying his time and relaxing up there in the beautiful Colorado weather, hopefully. And so, like I said, I'm glad to be here. As I was thinking about what to talk about, I kept going back and forth. What do I want to speak about this morning as I get an opportunity to be with you guys? And I kept going back and forth. I thought about maybe, talking about Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit comes down, because I tend to talk fast. And so that way, if you're like, man, I didn't understand you, I could have said, hey, well, the Spirit just came down, you know, and it would have been good. But I was like, no, that's not really it. You know, a couple of years ago, they asked me to speak to the men's breakfast when we were doing the men's breakfast. And I got up there and they asked me to talk about Falls Creek and everything that's going on in our ministry. And I shared with them what's going on in our ministry. And, when I talk with, especially with, like not youth age people, I try to go a little bit slower because I know that I talk fast, and I try to go slow, and I, finish my talk, and everything was done, and we prayed, and we were kind of leaving the fellowship hall, and there was one of our older gentlemen came up to me, and he said, hey, I just want to tell you, man, your English is getting so much better. And I was like, my English, like, it's my first language, you know, like, that's what I speak the best. And so hopefully, you'll be able to understand and be able to kind of follow along. But really, I really did struggle about what am I supposed to share this morning. And so I kept praying about it. I kept meditating on it. I kept asking God to lead me in. Randy said, well, maybe you should talk about the student ministry. And I said, well, that would be good, but that's not really a sermon. That's not really a Sunday morning sermon. And so God kept bringing me back to a question that I've asked our students, that I've asked our leadership over the last 2 or 3 years. And this question is not my question. It's a question that's found in Scripture, and it's found in Genesis chapter 3. And before we get to that question, I kind of want to set up what's happening, what's going on here. But if you know, when you think of Genesis chapter 3, if you know the Bible, you think the fall. But before that, let's talk about what's happened, right? God has created the heavens and the earth, and it was good, right? It was a beautiful thing. And the Bible tells that God created the first man, which was Adam, and it was good, And then God created a garden in Eden for Adam, and it was good, right? And then the Bible tells us that God created all sorts of trees. The Bible says there were beautiful trees to look at, but there were also beautiful trees and the fruit that they produced. I can imagine, whatever your favorite fruit, for me, maybe a mango, an orange, but it had everything that you could think of, right? It was a beautiful thing. And the Bible tells us that God also created two trees that sat in the midst of the garden. It was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God put Adam in the midst of that garden to take care of that garden. And there was only one thing that he had to do. And we find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. If you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be up on the screen. But it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. All right? So it was pretty simple. I don't know if it's because Adam was a man and it's like, we need to keep it simple. There was just one rule. But the reality, I tell students all the time, I think the gospel, I think God is not a God of confusion. I don't think God is hard to understand, right? In the New Testament, Jesus says, hey, it's simple. Love God, love people, and so he makes it pretty simple here. All you have to do is just, not eat of this garden. Not eat of this tree, that's in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we see that God wanted Adam to have a helper. And so if you continue to read, we see that God created all these different animals and he brought them to Adam, and Adam got to name all these animals. But yet the Bible says there was not a suitable helper found for him. And because God knows that it's not good for us to be alone, and he, wants us to be in community, he caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was asleep, the Bible tells us that he took one of his ribs and that he created a woman, right? Which was Eve. And finally, Adam had his suitable helper, right? And from the very beginning, even in Scripture, we see the design of marriage that God designed for us. In Genesis 2, 24 and 25, it says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Okay, and so we see that they had it all in the garden, right? Everything was provided for them. They had food, they had shelter. You know, it doesn't talk about what kind of house they lived in, because I believe when we get to heaven, we're all going to live in hammocks anyway, because that's God's design. I think if you don't have a hammock, you're missing out, but it's a great thing. I love my hammock, but everything was provided for them. You know, the Bible tells us that they were able to walk with God and talk with God, right? There was no shame or no feeling of feeling like, hey, I'm not good enough, right? The Bible tells us they were naked and they were happy. Right? Why wasn't there any shame? We're going to get that to that here in a little bit. But you could say they were living the dream, right? They were living everything they hoped for, everything they could imagine. But there was only one rule, right? Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I think really when it comes to God's rules and God's commands, you know, I think sometimes we tend to make it more difficult than it really is. That I think when it comes to following God and his commands and his rules, it's really about trust. Do we trust that God has the best for us? Do we trust that God has given us his best, right? Because here he had provided everything for Adam and Eve. And so it was a question of, do they trust that this is the best life they could have, right? And so if you're struggling with following God and following his commands and his rules, you know, I think it's really a hard issue about, do you trust that God really has your best intentions, right? As Americans, we love to trust in money. We love to trust in our guns and our powers, but are we trusting in God? Because ultimately, if we don't trust in God, we're never going to be satisfied. And so you might know what happens next, but just in case you don't, let's go ahead and read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you should not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loincloths." Okay? They didn't trust God, right? I mean, we see here that the serpent said, hey, God is holding out on you. God knows that if you leave this tree, you will be like God. So again, it's a trust issue. They feel like, man, God is holding out. He hasn't given us his best, or he's holding out something from us. You know, and I think it's something we struggle with. I think it's something students struggle with. You know, that fear of missing out, that fear of, can I trust God's plan and purpose for my life? And we see here in Adam and Eve that they didn't trust him. They thought maybe God was holding out on them, right? And then we see that in this moment when they disobey God, that sin enters into the world. And what does that bring? It brings shame with it, right? Sin always brings shame, right? When we go out and we do something, we know and then there's a shame that, hey, is God going to accept me? And we see that there's this shame that they have, and they realize they're naked. Before, it wasn't an issue because there wasn't shame. But now all of a sudden, because sin has entered into the world, they try to cover themselves up. Which brings us to the question that I want to ask you this morning. And it's found in our next two verses, verses 8 and 9. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" And that's really the question that I want to ask you this morning. This question that we find in Genesis chapter 3 is, oh, where are you? You know that, here's the deal. God didn't ask that question of Adam and Eve because they were really good at hide and seek. Right? Like, it's not like, hey, I can't find you. No, God knew exactly where they were. They were hiding themselves. They were you know, facing shame. And so I believe that God asked this question so they can stop and reflect of where they find themselves. You know, I think too many times nowadays we're so hurried, going so fast, that we never really stop and reflect of where we're at. Where are we as individuals? Where are we as people? Where are we as a church? And so, you know, that's the question, you know, like, where are you? And you know, this is why I love hammocks, because when you get in a hammock, it really gives you time to kind of stop. It slows everything down, and you're able to kind of just reflect. And so I believe that's a great question for us to be able to reflect on this morning. And so I want to ask you, where are you? Where are you as a husband? Where are you as a wife? Where are you as a father? Where are you as a mother? Right? I mean, we hurry and we work and we do so many things trying to provide for the people that we love, but are we where we're supposed to be? Where are you as a brother or as a sister? You know, where are you as a son or a daughter? You know, where are you as a grandparent? Where are you as an employee? Where are you as the boss? Where are you in your business dealings? Where are you as a friend this morning? Are you being the friend that God's called you to be? Where are you as a Christ follower? You know, Johnny Cooksey was talking about remembering, you know, that moment when we accepted Christ and, you know, how passionate we were about that in Sunday school when I was able to sneak in at the end of that. But it's a great question for us to think, where are you? Which I think leads to another question is this where you want to be? Because I think if we're honest, I mean, I know for myself anyway, like I can be a better husband. You know, I can be a better father. I can, there's sometimes where I'm selfish. There's sometimes when I'm not being the person God has called me to be. And so if you're not where you want to be, then today we can begin to make changes to get to where God wants us to be, right? And so I'm just going to let you think about that. And you know, maybe one of those questions really hit home with you. Maybe there's something you've been struggling with. And so I'm just going to let God just kind of work on you as far as where are you in that area. You know, God knows. But I want to talk to you a little bit, like Randy said, about where we are as a student ministry. We have some great students. We have some great leaders. But I'll tell you this. It is the hardest time, I think, for students to be teenagers in our country ever. Right? There's so many things that they have to face on a daily basis, whether it's from the phones that they carry, that, you know, there's so many good and evil things at their fingertips, you know, that they have to navigate from, you know, this last 18 months when we're in a pandemic where, you know, we saw anxiety and depression, you know, go up among all people, but especially among students. And so, man, they're at a hard place. And so I would encourage you that you would continue to pray for them because they need your prayers. You know, we have a great group of youth workers over in the student ministry. Okay, they're not perfect, but, you know, like who is, right? And the one thing that I ask my youth workers and my volunteers is I want two things of them. Love God with all your heart and love students. You know, if you'll do those two things, you know, God will work it out and God will be able to use them to be able to make an impact. We have great families who are connected to us through the student ministry and who are looking for a place to connect. You know, God has blessed us, you know, but I don't think we're where I want us to be. I still think that God wants us to be at a better place. And so my goal as a student pastor has always been to provide opportunities and experiences where students can encounter God in different ways. You know, and so I want us moving forward to continue to provide more opportunities for students to experience God, whether that's through a Wednesday night Bible study, whether that's Sunday morning, whether that's a mission trip, whether that's a service project, but give students an opportunity to experience God. You know, I want us to provide more opportunities for our students to serve in their community. We ask our student ministry, our small groups, to do a community project around Christmas time, and that's something we want to continue to do because I think it's, you know, important to teach our young people to be able to give back into the community, but I also want our students to be able to serve in the local church body. Like, they're not the church of the future, they're the church right now, right? If they're Christ followers, they're part of the church, and so we need to be able to use their gifts and their talents to be able to provide to the body of believers, and so I want to see more opportunities for them to be able to serve in their church body. I want to give them, you know, opportunities. I would love to be able to give every student an opportunity to go on an international mission trip. I think that's the thing. If you have a teenager, if you have young kids, I think that's one of the things that you should strive for as a parent, because if you send your kid on an international mission trip, it will change the way they look at the world, right? Because the way we live is not the way the rest of the world lives. Right? We're blessed, and I'm thankful to be in the greatest country in the world, but sometimes I think we lose perspective because we think everybody lives like us, and that's not true. And so I would love to be able to give an opportunity to every student to be able to go on an international mission trip. You know, I want to continue to give our students a safe place where they can wrestle with their faith, right? Where they can wrestle with those tough questions of owning their faith. You know, there's a lot of things that students are having to kind of, you know, wade through and try to make sense of. You know, I always tell our students that the church should be the safest place to have any conversation. You know, that we should not be afraid of talking about sex or talking about drugs or talking about gender identity in the church, because we're going to provide them the information from God's perspective. You know, and so the church should be the place where we have those conversations. And so I want to be able to provide a safe place where students can wrestle with their faith and be able to begin to own their faith on their own. You know, where they will be loved and guided by loving adults who love God and love them and help them own their faith for themselves. I want us to continue to produce more students who will leave our ministry and go make an impact wherever God leads them, whether that's somewhere in college or whether that's, you know, to the workforce, that they will go and make an impact. I want us to continue to pour into the next generation of leaders. You know, we're getting ready to go after vacation Bible school next, a week from this Monday. We're going to be going to Super Summer. We're taking about 20 students with us, but Super Summer is a student leadership camp where it's really about leaders and really challenging them to go to that next level of leadership. And so I want us to continue to do that. I want us to continue to provide internships. Now, we have two of our interns. I'm going to ask them to go ahead and stand up, but Reed and Abby, go ahead and stand up, all right? But they're our interns for this summer, so give them a hand, all right, if you... All right, I'm going to sit down. All right, but I would encourage you to try to talk to them. They're both at OBU this, you know, going to school at OBU, but they're with us this summer, and they're helping in our children and our youth ministry. I want us to continue to pour into the next generation. Reed's looking to become possibly a pastor or something in the ministry, and so be praying for him. Okay, that's a tough thing. And as we talk about where we're at as a student ministry, it leads me to ask the question is, where are we as a church? You know, I love being part of this church. I've been here for 16 years this month. Okay, it's hard to believe that when we came, our twin girls were about 2 or 3 months old, 4 months old when we came and everything, and we've been here for 16 years, man, and we love this church. I love the fact that my family has known one church and my kids have known one church their whole life, right? That it's a church that's loved them, that's poured into them, that's encouraged them. And I love being a part of our church because our church tries to make an impact in our community. You know, our church and our pastor, Andy, has always been a big fan of our students and our children. You know, if you were to ask around in our community, our church is known for being a helping church, for helping for causes in the community, but also for helping schools in our area. Our church is known for being a loving church and a friendly church, right? I think we have a great pastor, if not the best pastor, because he really is a pastor. There's nobody better than Randy of taking care of his people. And I love that about him. I've worked with him for 16 years, and I've been able to see his heart throughout his time. And he has a heart for people, and he loves God, and he loves people. And so we have a great pastor, so make sure you're praying for him, all right? Make sure you're encouraging him. Man, there's a lot on his plate as a pastor. Pray for the rest of your staff, the rest of the people that are on the church staff, because there's a lot of things going on. You know, there's a lot of people that are leaving ministry because they just can't deal with the pressure, or they don't feel like their support. You know, be a body that supports your pastor and the rest of the staff. You know, we're blessed as a church, church body, and we're blessed to be part of this congregation. And one of the things that I love about our church is that we're always looking to make an impact or a bigger impact for the kingdom, right? Like I said earlier, our church has always supported our children and our youth. You know, a few years back, they were like, hey, we're going to build a new children's wing, a new parlor, and a new youth building. And I mean, the church got all behind that, and the church was willing to support and get behind that. And I mean, we have these great facilities. I know at the time there was people who said, man, well, do they need that much room? You know, like, I think I remember once somebody said, well, is Alex going to be able to fill that up? Well, I'm not filling anything up. I'll just tell you that right now, okay? But God has been faithful that he has brought students into our ministry You know, as we've been faithful to him, and we've seen, man, that God has used not only the children's wing, the parlor, the refinery to be able to reach students and to be able to bring them in. And so, man, our church has always been so supportive, right? But I can't wait to see the new things that God's going to guide us to do. You know, the new ways that we're going to be able, the new things that we're going to be able to do to reach unchurched families. There's a lot of unchurched families out there in our community who are looking to connect with the church. And so, man, I'm excited to see where God's going to lead us and how God's going to guide us to be able to make the gospel more accessible to them, to be able to make the church accessible to people today, because people are looking for truth. They're looking for truth. I promise you that. And they're looking for a church that's going to show them truth, that's going to help them be able to find truth. You know, a church that's not about, hey, this is how we've always done it, or this is what we want, but a church that is about honoring God and building his kingdom. You see, I'm excited about the future of New Hope. I don't know about you guys, but I hope you're excited too. I always feel like, man, the best is yet to come. And when you look around, you look at where God has positioned us, I feel like, man, like God can use our church to make an even bigger impact than we're already making, to be able to reach more people for the gospel, to be able to bring more lost people to come to know him as Savior. And so going back to that question is, where are you? You know, maybe you had a little bit of time to think about that. You know, whether it's as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a sister, as a son or as a daughter, as a Christ follower, as an employee, as the boss, where are you this morning? And is it where you want to be? You know, what steps can you begin to take today to be where God wants you to be? See, the thing I love about God, and I tell our students this all the time, is that every morning, every day is a new opportunity for us to be able to choose what we're going to be about, right? The Bible tells us that his grace and his mercies are new every morning, right? And so we get to decide what we're going to do. We get to decide if we're going to follow him. We get to decide if we're really going to trust and say, yes, I trust you, God, that you have my best interest in mind. See, there's nothing stopping you from being the person that God's calling you to be. If you need to work on your marriage, there's nothing stopping you from working on your marriage. If you need to work on becoming a better parent, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. If you need to work on becoming a better son or a daughter, there's nothing stopping you from that. It's trusting God and allowing him to be able to lead you and guide you and give you the strength that you need to be able to change. See, there's nothing stopping the church that God has called us to be. There's also nothing stopping us from being the church that will continue to keep building his kingdom and looking for new ways to connect the unchurched, the lost, people who are looking for a church to be able to belong to. And so where are you? Where are you this morning? And is that where you want to be? Let's go ahead and stand and we'll pray.